Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and I am here with Joe Roney, Mr. Joe, who I've known for, almost a year and a half coming up or something like that. So
yeah, over a year and a half now. It was the accelerator program, which was back in the end of 22. So
yeah, that's crazy. Time is flying, man. Time is flying. And your growth is flying too. I love it. All the things that you've just your story and stuff. And I'm excited to have you on here. So today's episode, everybody listening, we're talking about dirty data. We talked about that in the beginning, and I got more technical on the part one. So if you haven't watched or listened to that yet, you really need to listen to that. Joe, I got on there and I was like, hey, let's get dirty, everybody. Dirty data, like kind of played that up a little bit. But the reality is, like, dirty data, bad data, conflicting data, confusing data, it sucks and it can hurt your investments. It can hurt your confidence. It can keep you from making decisions and also have you make bad decisions too. And so I talked a lot about the technical side and how to avoid it, what to look for, the signs of it, and all these like fun little things. But let's hear your story, because you sent me a really good story about your experience and your investment journey on running into bad data, how that impacted you. And so, Joe, before I dive into that, I forgot to do this. Can you go ahead and just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Joe Roney, I am based in the St. Louis, Missouri area, but I own two short-term rentals in Panama City Beach. I'm actually a real estate agent both here in Missouri and in Panama City Beach. And over the last year, I developed a co-hosting business and scaled to 8 co-hosting properties. And over the last 6 months, I've done some co-host coaching and helped some other investors get into the co-hosting business, which is pretty awesome. Our mastermind group went from 0 to over 35 properties since last July. So really excited for them. And they are just knocking it out of the park, and really proud of them. So it's been a really fast escalation over the last 2 years in this business. And I absolutely love it.
That's awesome, man. That's really... And I gotta say, like, everyone listening, so Joe and I met. Joe joined the Accelerator. The Accelerator was a super team with Bill, myself, Avery Carl, Ryan Bakey, the CPA extraordinaire, Jeff Hampton, the legal guy, you on your side, and the bank whisperer himself, John Hodge. So I'm sure I'll have those on, each one of those individuals on the podcast at some point. But we had this Accelerator program. Joe was one of the first ones to go through it. And I mean, he really took the content to heart and accelerated, just as the name of the course is called. Not to be cheesy, yeah. There. So he's really exploded his knowledge base and his portfolio and his clients and everything he's doing. And it's really one of those people where you're just kind of like, you want to put on a pedestal and be like, look, guys, like this works, you know, this is real. And so anyway, he's a great student. Now he's teaching other people too. And it's just kind of like seeing that full evolutions. It's awesome to see in him. So Joe, hats off to you, but let's talk dirty data. That's what the people are here to listen about. So let's get dirty. Let's talk about the data. Share the whole story that you shared with me and tell us what happened and go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, my wife and I, we researched for a long time on what kind of real estate investing we wanted to get into after doing all the digging, reading books, from Avery Carl's book to Grant Cardone to everything we could possibly read. We knew short-term rentals was the place we wanted to be, and started to dig into some data. You know, didn't know Kenny or anyone in the business at all. So we kind of did it on our own. I did follow a couple of Facebook groups and try to learn what I can along the way, but had no idea, you know, the differences between getting real data and entering an address on one of the other data websites, and they tell you how much money you can make. And, you know, everybody was in the phase of, you know, short-term rentals can be a great investment. We felt it could be a great investment. And, you know, back in 2022, you know, we kind of searched for a long time, you know, analysis paralysis is probably what really got us for a while. But when we finally decided to pull the trigger, it was like, it was go. You know, we you know, entered our address into the address and the database, and it said how much revenue could make. The person that was running it before said kind of what they were doing, and we thought we could do a little bit better. And we jumped all in and bought our first one back in August of 22.
Okay. So you got the data. You also had this person saying, so you bought a pre-existing Airbnb.
We did.
Okay. Very interesting. And so tell us a little bit about the numbers. So do you remember what they said? What were they currently earning? And then what did the data say from the
web? I think the previous person that was managing it, you know, self-managed, did somewhere around $50,000, $48,000 to $50,000 in gross revenue. You know, I entered it on a couple of different websites, and it said 65 to 75 was realistic, more like median, you know, and we thought, okay, you know, if we can go in and do some updates and make a few changes and make a few modifications, then we could probably hit that 70, 75 number. And at that point, we'll be really close to that 20% cash on cash return, which is kind of what our goal was. I didn't really have a real pro forma at then. I would just have my own little spreadsheet to kind of, you know, write down what I thought it would do and what I thought the expenses would be to kind of just get a little bit of a ballpark. But, you know, and I didn't pay for any data to actually see exactly what my neighbors were doing. You know, I didn't do, you know, the enemy method to see how many two-bedroom, two-bath houses were in Panama City Beach already and what type of saturation in that specific, you know, bedroom count was. I didn't know any of that kind of stuff. So all I had to do was rely on what you know, a couple of the other websites said it would do, and we jumped.
Okay, so they were doing, you said, about 48, and then the projections were like 65 to 70?
Is that, yep. Okay. 65 to 70, and high end could be 75. You know, one of the things that, you know, that we didn't take into consideration is when we were entering those addresses, you know, we're 2.5 blocks from the beach of the house that we bought, and it's adding condos that are beachfront into that same two bedroom data, you know, in that free data. So yeah, we didn't really get a chance to analyze just what our neighborhood was doing. We really kind of relied on that, and, you know, didn't know better at the time.
Okay. So how did the property do?
You know, honestly, you know, so we went in, my wife and I spent a 4-day weekend, went in and redid the kitchen, got new couches, new, you know, some new interior decor, changed the bedding around, you know, tried to make it, you know, as Bill would say today, a super property. Didn't know what that term was back then, but we knew we wanted it to stand out and be better. And, you know, we went live in September of 22, obviously going live in the off season or in the shoulder season in a beach market. It was a tough time to go live, you know, but we, you know, we weathered the storm. We knew we were going to have to make a few mortgage payments to get through the winter, but by, you know, by the Christmas and then by spring, it was really doing well in 23. So we actually ended up in 2023, the average two-bedroom house in our neighborhood now did about $37,000, and we hit $59,000 last year. So still about $10,000 shy of what we thought the property should do, or what we, you know, got through the data that we had. Mm-hmm. So we didn't come close to that cash-on-cash return of 20%. You know, $10,000 when you're in that price range is a big difference. But it definitely exceeded what the market was doing, which I'm happy for that.
Good. So, okay, what are the lessons learned here? So what did you take away from that purchase when looking at the data? Because it said 65 plus, you said 55, 60, something around there?
Right at 58, 59.
Okay, what we ended up at. Yeah, so not terribly off, but still off nonetheless. And no, like, I mean, first one, so I get it. I'm not criticizing at all, but and lessons we learned. But that's what I want to sit on is like, okay, we missed a little bit, and not the end of the world. But what are the lessons you can take? What did you take away from it, and what kind of advice do you give to people when it comes to those type of projections and looking at it from that angle?
You know, I think, you know, obviously, you know, at the time, you know, there wasn't an STR Insights, and I didn't pay for AirDNA or DataRabu or any of those other things to get real hard numbers. So, you know, whichever, site you're doing research on, it is so important to get real data, you know, what houses like yours are doing. We did some updates, we did make some changes, and I'm thankful for the accelerator program, because what I learned in that, it allowed me to exceed the market by, over 20% from what everybody else was doing. But if I was an average, person that just went and bought that and hired a property manager, I'm going to say that property probably maxes at $45,000 to $50,000 with an average property manager, and we would have probably lost $15,000 to $20,000 all in for the year. So, I definitely, in a way, I missed. We did exceed our average goals in a way, but definitely didn't make the money I needed to be able to buy another house by now. Right?
Sure.
That was the goal, to be able to start, saving money that we made from this house to reinvest in the next one.
Sure. So, I mean, at least you didn't go negative. You made a little bit of money, maybe not as much as you hope, but that's okay. All right. So we learned a little bit. So what are you doing differently today? How are you evaluating differently today so you don't make the same mistake? That's probably the better question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say, the pro forma template that I got from you guys has been a game changer, and something that I did in my personal business and the real estate business, because I do help a lot of investors buy short-term rentals now, is I share, my pro forma, and I, to be able to help them write pro formas on what they're doing and help them find the real good data. And it's the same thing we're doing. So we're searching for our next property to be able to purchase at the end of summer, early fall is our goal. And now it's, really, really diving deep into not just the market, but what type of house, what type of amenities, what type of, views, whatever it may be, that's going to actually give us that return on investment that we were looking for originally that we didn't get.
So let's unpack this a little bit. So number one, you're invested in, let's talk about the prop, because you're managing properties in different areas. So where are you managing properties and slash also invested?
So the two properties that we own, I did buy right after we bought ours. I had a couple investors that wanted to get into the short-term rental space, and we actually bought a second one on the same street and closed 2 weeks after the first one. So I've actually been managing both of those properties, and I will tell you, the second property, I made the exact same mistake. And the data at that one said we would do about $80,000 plus. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and we ended up finishing it right at $61,000, and we're just shy of breaking even in our first year for that one, because we obviously spent a little bit more on it. But what I can say is buying these two properties, got me out of the analysis paralysis and launched me into this space. So the six that I'm co-hosting currently in Panama City Beach, and then I also co-host two properties in the Branson, Missouri location.
Gotcha. Okay. And so the second property, did you do the exact same method for evaluation, or how was that any different?
It really wasn't different, except the 3-bedroom, 2-bath was even more saturated than the 2-2. So, and it looked like a regular house, where my 2-2 looks like a classic beach house. So because of the looks of it, even though they're on the same street, I actually almost exceeded the revenue of the 3-2 that is 600 square foot larger with a game room than my 2-2 that didn't have any of that. So, and part of it was just the looks and the aesthetics of the house. We did go in and we did a really good decor on the inside. We added a game room. We put a Pac-Man and did a foosball table, and even built a sand volleyball court in the backyard and brought in 40 tons of sand and made our own sand volleyball court back there. And it's performed okay, but that 3-2, the saturation in that, we're up against 4,000 or 5,000 other 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses and condos in the area. And it's just a tough nut to crack when it's, when you have that much competition.
Sure. No, that's that makes sense. And how many 2-2s do you have?
That is my only 2-2. So everything else that I'm co-hosting now is 4 or more bedrooms. It's kind of my general rule for co-hosting on properties is to get 4 or more bedrooms, because that's where in the markets that I'm in, that's where you jump from that $60,000 to $70,000 a year to 90, 100, 125, right? So it's a huge, huge difference. And I wish I would have known that before I bought that 2-2.
Sure. So, all right, let's dive a little bit deeper, because the two properties, and then what's your process now so you don't make the same mistake? Because you've got properties now, and I'm assuming they're actually doing well, hopefully.
Well, I mean, the properties that I'm co-hosting are doing really well. That's the only two properties I currently own. We're looking to purchase our third one this fall. Obviously, like I said, we didn't hit our revenue goals in 23 like we hoped to be able to buy that property last year. And that's changed. We're definitely on pace with some other stuff that we have going on to be able to do that this year. So we actually just started really deep diving. I did, I do have my subscription for STR Insights. So, you know, really, I have 4 or 5 markets that I've picked out by using that, because I kind of know where I want to invest. But obviously, I want to make sure the data tells me that it's the right place to invest as well. So we're really kind of narrowing the down to the few markets that we really want to invest in. And then, of course, like I said, what's the saturation per bedroom count? What's the saturation per, what kind of amenities do we need to find? I mean, you know, kind of back to analysis paralysis in a way, which we'll probably have for a couple months as we go through peak season in the summer. But it's really analyzing to make sure our next purchase knocks it out of the park, and it's not just an average to below average purchase.
Okay. So your data metrics, I'm kind of gathering this, but maybe there's a little bit more. So what data metrics are you looking at? You mentioned the amenities. You mentioned saturation. Are anything else you're looking at particularly?
What's the traffic drivers are, right? You know, I'm looking for traffic drivers. I personally am more of a vacation rental market investor. That's where I want to be. There's a lot of people in the suburban space or the urban space, and that's just not the type of investment that I personally want. You know, I want to invest in places that I want to go, when we do go work on our properties or spend some time there, it's somewhere that we want to be. But at the same time, it's got to be in a place that the numbers make sense, that we can hit those financial goals that we're wanting to hit.
Okay. What are your goals? Tell me a little about that. What are you trying to hit?
Cash on cash for me is not what I'm looking for now. So, before that's what I looked for was cash on cash. Now my goal is cash flow. You know, I want a property that's going to be able to net me a minimum $45,000 to $50,000. So yes, that means I might have to spend a little bit more money, or maybe I have to put a little bit more down payment in, but I'm going to try to stay in that 20% down payment range to be able to still be able to net that kind of cash flow, because for us to be able to continue to scale, that's the cash flow that we need. You know, I don't have an unlimited money tree, where I can just keep putting down payments just like most investors. So got to make money from the investments to be able to, put those new down payments down so we can. Hopefully, the goal is to buy 6 properties over the next 6 years. One a year is the ultimate goal, and I'd be really happy with ending at 8 total, but 6 more.
What's your strategy? How are you going to find these properties or cash flowing them?
In data like what you guys have in STR Insights is really awesome. I mean, because, I even on my mastermind call last night, on my coaching call with the 4 people that joined recently, we actually dove in deep on some of the data, and I was showing them some of the different metrics of, hey, when you're ready to invest in a property, and, we went down about, finding what kind of market you want and what area you want it. And then it gives you the cities, what cities could have the good investment returns. And then we dove into, the individual property markets in the same data that we could actually look at the houses of exactly what those houses are doing. One of the things that I really like about it is it gives you the net rent and not added all the additional fees, cleaning fees, anything else like that. So you know what your bottom line is on your tool, where some of the other ones, I still use the paid data on those because I think it's important to have more than one data source and be able to look at all of them together. But the numbers are going to be different in some of the other platforms because it's lumping everything, including management fees, cleaning fees, taxes, everything.
So how do you handle it when you see that? Like conflicting data, maybe because you know it has a cleaning fee. So like how do you juggle that?
I think what I've done a little bit is look at what the market's doing. So in my market, I know what the cleaning fee is average for a 3-bedroom or a 4-bedroom house, So and I know because I'm in the market now about how many stays are a year. So if I'm at, 32, 35 stays at $300 a month, okay, we're somewhere around $9,000 or $10,000 in cleaning fees. So I know I need to deduct that, at a minimum from some of the other data. to kind of put them together to see if they make sense. And sometimes there's still a little bit of a gap, and sometimes it gets it pretty close when you take that away.
Okay. What do you do? Because I mean, even at STR Insights, it's okay. We call spade a spade, so it doesn't matter. But STR Insights, AirDNA, Price Labs, whatever data sources you're looking at, what happens when you do find something that's maybe off? How do you handle it? What do you do? What are you looking for? And how do you tell it's off?
I think part of it's knowing the market. You know, I in some of these new markets that I'm doing research in, I don't know the market as well. So it's digging a little bit more, doing some homework, you know, talking to, you know, an STR agent in that area that might know, or somebody else that has properties in that area that might know that data a little bit more. And I think it's important that the one thing that I can say about the entire short-term rental world community, and there's tons of Facebook groups out there, is it truly is a community. And I think everybody in this industry is that I've met has been pretty open about sharing information and sharing data. Mm. And I've hopped on calls with strangers from all over the world just to talk short-term rentals. And I absolutely love it because I really haven't found someone that's, you know, doesn't want to share or have that kind of, call with me. So I think talking to people in that area and learning the area is so important. You know, Branson was an area that I really wanted to invest in. I've been partnering with Ryan Duffy and the Duffy Homes team down there, talking to them a lot because, you know, they are, in my opinion, one of the best STR agents in the area. And they have a great thing going. So that's who I'm partnering with in that area to get the data that I don't have.
Sure. Okay. So I love that. So almost like pairing the experience in the market with the data. But let me ask you this though, on the flip side, and this is more of a loaded question, but in your opinion, okay, in your opinion, is it enough to rely on experience alone?
No, because I thought it was, you know, we had a great gut feeling and obviously we were inexperienced, but you know, we felt in our gut that this house was going, you know, these houses that we bought in Panama City Beach were going to knock it out of the park. And we, you know, thought about what we thought our abilities were and what kind of design that we were going to put into it. And, you know, and I'd love to sit here and say that we hit a home run, but you know, the honest truth is we didn't. And, that gut feeling, yeah, sometimes you just have to, you know, go with your gut and make that leap to get out of that analysis paralysis and make that jump. But man, it has got to be a data-driven jump. And that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned, that when we make our jump for the next one, yes, we're still going to go with our gut and from the experience of the people in the area, but it is going to be, you know, real data-driven before we make that jump.
Yeah. What did your realtor, I'm assuming you used a realtor, right? For the panelists.
Yeah.
What were their thoughts on the property? What did they tell you?
Oh, that, you know, I mean, it's been crushing it since day one. The market is phenomenal. You know, this is the best time to get in. And we kind of knew, one of the things that I did do is we wanted to invest in Panama City Beach. So I didn't explore anywhere else in the panhandle because we had vacationed there. We really liked it. It is a very family-friendly community. Yep. The tourism is phenomenal. It's a regional drivable destination. So if we go into a recession, it's definitely a safer investment than somewhere where people have to fly. You know, so there's a lot of things that we did ahead of time to say, okay, this is why we want to invest here. And of course, yes, the realtor she's one of the top realtors in the market and she's fantastic, you know, told us everything that we wanted to hear, you know, which obviously got us pretty excited about it.
Right. So. Right. So, no, and that's, and I think, I mean, you sell real estate now, you're a realtor as well. So like, you know, like it, and it's no sly to other realtors. And that's why I think it's really important though. Like you said, Joe, I love that. It's like, you need experience and you also need data. I think having like one or the other, it's not like, oh, data or versus experience. It's like having both together, because I can't tell you how many times the clients look at me and they're like, hey, you know, the realtor said this, and I'm like, I don't see anything in the data to support them. And yeah. Houdini or like, you know, the second coming of Bill Faith in marketing, you're not going to pull off those numbers. There's like a low probability, you know, and it's like, we can't eat all the hype up. We have to be realistic at the same time and weigh our risk. And so what I usually, and you said at the beginning, let's talk about this. Like you mentioned the word pro forma. So there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who have no idea what that word is. So can you tell us about what that is and how you use it to mitigate risk or make better decisions, start, you know, with your most recent purchases and so on.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I think the pro forma that you and Ryan had and the one that I got from John Hodge, I mean, it really is an Excel spreadsheet that is just I'll call it a dumbed down version to be able to just input the numbers, and it tells you what your returns are. You know, yeah. You input what your purchase price is, you input how much money you think you're going to invest in, you know, furniture, renovations, decor, whatever it may be, your down payment and your interest rate. And then on the next column, you input all your expenses, you know, how much your cleaning fees are, how much the OTA fees are going to be, you know, utilities, you know, all the maintenance that you have to do. And when you get to the right-hand column, it tells you, okay, if you hit this number, now you're going to have this kind of return. And this is what your net is going to be at the end of the year after you input everything. And I think it's important to go in and have, you know, and what I was taught is a good, better, best, you know, go in and say, okay, if I am just average, you know, if I just hit the average 50th percentile, this is what we're going to end up at the end of the year. And if I can knock it out of the park and get into that 90th percentile, this is what we're going to be out of the year, and then have something in between. And I didn't do any of that stuff. I, you know, I had a spreadsheet. I put on what I thought it was going to do, put in my expenses, said, ooh, yay, we're going to make $20,000-$25,000 profit out of this deal. And, you know, when it was all said and done, and you know, that pro forma, really having that good, better, best really makes a difference. And I'll tell you a little story. I helped an investor recently sell a condo in Panama City Beach who was promised by a realtor that, you know, it was going to be an $80,000 to $100,000 a year condo. It was beautiful condo. They did amazing renovations and decor updates. And after year one, I think they were around $60,000. I don't remember exactly, but you know, after the HOA or COA dues and payments and everything else, they were losing money. Mm-hmm. But their STR agent told them this is what it's going to do. And when she called me and we started digging in the data, there wasn't a single condo that hit $80,000 in the entire complex the previous year. Mm. So, you know, so that was a realtor that obviously was in for it for a sale. And there are so many realtors that are just in it for the sale and not for the longevity. And it's so important that, you know, for everyone out there, when you're choosing a realtor, that you find one that truly understands short-term rentals. And if they're not talking to you about underwriting or pro forma templates, or, you know, AirDNA or STR Insights, any kind of that kind of stuff, to me, I think that's a red flag, because, you know, they probably don't know exactly what they're doing. And I also think it's important that you find an STR agent that owns short-term rentals themselves, because they truly understand it if they do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think one thing I hear a lot from realtors through clients is stories of, you know, I know so-and-so or of so-and-so who made this, you know, $80,000 or $100,000 of their condo. But, and you're like, oh, well, that means I can do it too. That's what they're basically like leading you on to believe. And yeah. The problem with that, number one, is you don't know the quality of that host and how they're going to host. So that's a big red flag in and of itself. But then number two, though, we don't know the full picture. What if that person's condo, you know, they're associated, they have a splash pad, a lazy river, a pool, you know, a free massage parlor, like free drinks after 5 p.m., you know, like what? Like, you know, Jimmy Buffett comes in every now and then. Like, it's like, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. Like, to me, like, we don't know if it could have been that foundation. We have to be able to grow our own business, and not require, really the real test giving you experience. And what going back to that data is such a good piece. But the purpose of this podcast is actually to kind of cut the data a little bit. But, you know, just like with your experience, we can't just rely on the data. And so what you mentioned, and I think the summary here for everybody listening, is we need to have a good, better, best model of what the revenue is going to do to protect ourselves. Because number one, we'll assume that the realtor had good intention. And then number two, we'll also assume that the data is good. So we need to like look at it at a range to really mitigate the risk not being a bad investment. I think that will help everybody and in a sense of like not make bad investments. So
yeah. Yeah. And I've seen it, you know, I see obviously the STR homes for sale, and I, you know, follow a lot of other STR realtors that are killing it in this business, you know, Tyler Kuhn over in the, in his area. And you see when they post things, houses for sale, it says, okay, this is what an average property is going to do. This is what a superhost property is going to do. And this is going to be, you know, and I think that's awesome because I think it does at least show you that there is a large range between, you know, what a single property can do. But no matter what a realtor says to you in it, and as a realtor and a broker in Missouri, you have to do your own research and you have to write a full pro forma and understand the numbers. I can't stress that enough.
This is my, I call this my safe space, my podcast space where I can publicly say things and I don't get in too much trouble. Man, oh man, do I tell, and I'm not going to say names, but you said one of them, but man, oh man, do I tell them when they project those numbers, I'm like, where are you getting that from? Yep. You know what I mean? Like, cause there, a lot of people know better. You know, a lot of people see that it's a VA or somebody across the fees, like putting in the numbers, you know, oh, best case scenario, there's the best performer in that area is doing like $400,000. I'm going to put that down. It's like, yeah, it's not that property's not going to do 400,000 or even close to it. But, and it is a little bit, and that's why it's so important to do your own, to be able to do your own due diligence. And if you can't, if you're not confident in it, then you need to freaking call me. I'm going to put a shameless plug in there for myself. Like you gotta either have somebody you trust or be able to do it on your own. And that's why I'm doing this podcast to teach everybody and having people like Joe who's sharing their experiences about it. Because if you don't, you could be led into a mistake without even knowing it. So there's a lot of ways to avoid it, and it's knowledge and power. But you do need a good realtor ultimately, though. So, and I'm not saying Tyler's not a good realtor or any of the other, but the reality is like it takes two. And you know, I'll probably have Tyler in on the show too and talk about his experience and stuff as well. But it is all about relying on their experience, because data can only take you so far.
So, yeah, it really can. And obviously, having somebody in the area and somebody that's really involved, like Tyler in his area, like he knows the numbers, right? And you know, he knows exactly, you know, what a property, or at least a really realistic ballpark of a property can do, and guide you in the right way. And I think any good STR realtor is going to be able to do that, you know. But at the end of the day, as realtors, we are salesmen, and we are going to, you know, we do want to sell real estate. You know, the biggest thing that I do is, you know, obviously teach my clients to be able to run these pro formas, help them put them together, and then teach them how to self-manage. And, you know, I'm as a co-host, obviously I'd love to co-host for anyone that I can that, you know, meets my criteria on what I'm going to do. But if you can self-manage it, you are far more likely to be very successful in this business, in my opinion.
I love it. I love it a lot. Well, Joe, as we kind of wrap and conclude things here, what advice would you give to investors today about kind of looking at the data and making sense of it and feeling confident in the data that you're seeing for any platform? It doesn't have to be up to your insights.
I think it's really not just knowing the data or looking at the data, but understanding it, you know, understanding what it actually is. And, you know, someone will say, well, you're, you know, 45% occupancy at a 300 ADR, and this is what it's going to do, you know, by just, you know, calculating some numbers. And that's not real data, because, you know, in every market, you're going to have a busy season. You're going to have a shoulder season. You're going to have a slow season. And you almost need to run your data for each season. Okay, during peak season, I'm going to be at 650 ADR and I'm going to run about 90% occupancy. And then in September, when everybody goes back to school, I'm going to be lucky to hit 35%. And my ADR is probably going to drop to $199, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's more than just looking at the big picture of the whole year, you know, but also looking at your seasons and also what time of year are you buying? You know, if you're buying going into the slow season, you're going to need those 6 months of reserves to just pay your bills sometimes, you know, where if you're buying and closing, you know, 60 to 90 days before the peak season, you know, you're going to have some pretty good revenue coming out right out of the gate. So I think there's a lot of factors in there in the data. And I do think that, you know, running your, you know, seasons and understanding the big picture of what every month or every quarter is going to look like is really important.
I think that is tremendous advice, Joe. Like, I honestly, I think that's probably like, I mean, not to say everything else you said was useless, but no, not at all. But I mean, like the value of what you just said was, and I want everyone to go back if you can and re-listen to what he just said, because, and I, and I, I, I hear this a lot. And I, when I, with my clients, is they're like, oh, well, you know, we are expecting the ADR to be X. And I always ask them, well, what for what season? And they're like, well, right now. And I'm like, but is this peak season? And they're like, no. And I said, you're telling me a peak season rate for a springtime, you know, season. Like, you're not, you shouldn't be expecting that. And then when you're launching, you shouldn't expect your premium rates that you're going to get like later on the road at the very beginning. It needs to ramp.
Yes.
And so there's seasonality, and people are just like, they're occupied with this idea of what's the average for the year, my average daily rate ADR for the year, or occupancy for the year, but it matters based on season. I love what you said, Joe. That was huge. And people need to understand that, and they need to track the crap out of that and look at it too. So what I tell people all the time is, an SDR Insights or whatever platform you want, but you can do this SDR Insights. You can go into your market and you can select your percentile, and you can see what the ADR is per season. That's what you should be looking at. Yeah. This is what I'm targeting. So it's like when someone says, well, my ADR is not hitting, you know, $300. First, should it? Should it even be doing that right now? That's the first question. Yeah. You know, and then we can go, okay, well, if it is, then why isn't it hitting that? What are we doing wrong? So, and everyone needs to look at that. Cause when people say that, I always ask them, well, should it? And they're like, I don't know. And then you're like, well, what are you complaining about if you don't know? You know what I mean? So obviously I'm a little nicer about it than that, but
yeah. Well, and I have a property that, you know, we're peak season getting $1,600 a night, you know, it's beachfront pool, the whole works. But I know in January, I'm going to be lucky to get $399 a night, you know? So, I mean, that's a huge, huge difference, you know, on what we're doing in January, as far as what we're doing in July. So, you know, and obviously your true vacation rental markets are going to have the bigger ups and downs, rather than some of the more year round markets. But, you know, Branson, for instance, our highest ADR in Branson is actually November and December. You know, we actually get a higher ADR during those 2 months during the Christmas season than I do during June and July, because it's such a huge destination for families during the Christmas holidays. So, you know, so it's you definitely have to know your market and understand what those seasonalities are.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that, Joe. I think that's huge for the listeners, especially if they want to be, quote unquote, cash flow positive, right?
So, yes.
There it is. Yes. So anyway, well, Joe, this has been a treat. I appreciate you sharing your experiences, being open and, you know, talking about, hey, look, like, you know, we didn't nail it the first time around, and that's okay. We learned from it, and now we're doing better for it. And I think that that's huge. A lot of people get discouraged. I see a lot of people exiting because they just didn't know what they were getting into and didn't know what to expect. And in reality, it's like, let's take these lessons, let's improve, let's be better. And going forward, I mean, just the risk in your future investment is going to be so much lower, because you know what to look for, and you know how to, it's not analysis paralysis, it's just doing good due diligence now for you. So
yeah, that's a better word for it, for sure.
Anyway, well, everybody, just so you know, if you'd like, so Joe does mingle in real estate in Florida. He's a realtor down there in Panama City Beach now. He co-hosts also in the Branson area. Are you also a realtor in Branson or no?
No, my broker salesperson is mostly in the St. Louis metro and St. Charles County, Western St. Louis area. So let Ryan take care of the Branson people down there.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan Duffy. So everybody, if you would like to get in, if anybody listening to this would like to get in contact with Joe, learn about his group, or ask questions about Panama City Beach or Branson or whatever, go to Facebook. His best way to contact him is go to Facebook and just search him, Joe Roney. I've got his name there on this video. If you're listening to this, you can go to YouTube and catch this, and you can get in contact with him and ask him any questions. Joe, you're open to that, right?
I definitely am. No.
God, I checked with you before. I didn't put your number up or anything. Get random calls. No, I'm just kidding. Cool, man. Well, hey, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. This was a treat for me, and I love the nuggets you shared. Keep doing your thing, man. I love seeing the success, and keep sharing it with everybody too. So thank you for
being here. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me on, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Cool. So thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.